Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You can find Kevin Wooster's blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. You can find him right here on In the Moment on Thursdays during this time slot, almost always. And today, Kevin, welcome. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, it's great to be back. The good news is I've got five or six red peonies opening and the first two orange poppies. So I'm happy about that, if not necessarily about the direction of the campaign.
The peonies in my backyard are pink, and they are not opening yet. They're sort of...
Not yet?
No. Yeah. They're,
so I will have Mary Oliver poem somewhere up on my blogs before long on peonies.
Yes, absolutely. One of my favorite poets, Mary Oliver.
Yes.
All right, let's just talk about poetry because...
Yes, forget about the campaign.
Forget about politics.
Let's go flower by flower, poet by poet, and call it a day.
I think there are a whole lot of listeners who would probably be just fine with that. Oh, but we got to talk about politics a little bit because you've got a week left, less than a week left now to this primary between Marty Jackley, Kristi Noem, and then in the House side, we've got Neil Tapio and Chantel Krebs and Dusty Johnson. New polls are out and new campaign ads as well. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Dusty Johnson and Chantel Krebs and this sort of Chantel wears the crown flyer?
You know, the thing about that mail, flyer, postcard, mailer, whatever it was, is, you know, it was at least based on some votes, you know, quite a few votes on, like, that first one. And in most of the attacks you're seeing, quite a few coming, you know, from Krebs these days against Johnson. And Johnson, who is clearly in the lead, knows he's in the lead, and I think has been in the lead for a while, based on what I've heard of the limited internal polling he did. You know, I sure thought she was the favorite going into that against him. She's done a lot of good things in the Secretary of State's office, which needed him done, you know, and she's a charismatic candidate in many ways, and he had some ground to gain, I think, and I think he did gain it. He's a hard campaigner, energetic campaigner. It never hurts if you're a Republican in South Dakota and you have support of Dennis Dugard. He gets attacked by a lot of people, but the last... You know, the general governor's polling around the country I saw where he was in the mid to high 60s in general approval rating in South Dakota, which means Republicans, he was probably in the 80s or, you know, 90. So I know he's got some harsh critics, but I think that, I thought when I saw that ad for him that that was probably the closer for Dusty Johnson. And, you know, Chantel Krebs probably thinks it's a Citizens for a Stronger America mailers, one of which was, you know, horribly unfair to her.
Right.
And the other was at least based on real votes, I think.
They cost a lot of money, these mailers. I was surprised at some of the dollar signs that were getting spent just on that little piece of cardboard that comes in your mailbox. And I did get the crown one. I didn't get the first one, but I did get the Queen Krebs.
Tax for thee, a raise for me, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, that first one that I looked into, you know, harder than I look into most things in my semi-retirement journalism stage. And, you know, that was about a $37,000 bill just for that first mailer for the Citizens for a Stronger America. And then I think Seth Tupper, who looks into everything hard, you know, my guess is his wife has got to watch when she tells him something because he probably checks just to make sure. No, I'm just kidding.
I took out the garbage. He goes to check, right?
Okay.
Did you? Did you, in fact, take out the garbage, Ms. Tupper?
And he, you know, looked at the second one, I think, which he said cost $26,000. But then, you know, total, he totaled everything they've been doing with ads and TV and the mailers and stuff to over $200,000, $240,000, I think.
Wow.
You know, so that's a lot of money to throw into a state like ours, and it could have an impact. You know, like I said, I think what I'd seen and heard early on, I think Dusty Johnson was building a pretty consistent lead, but this certainly didn't help Chantel Krebs at first mailer especially.
So Dusty is known really for his positive campaign at this point, and yet there's this organization who's doing all this mudslinging. Is there a connection between this organization? I mean, does Dusty know that they're doing it? Is it completely detached from him? How does that work?
That's the question. That he and I, as I told somebody in the Krebs campaign, I've worked with Dusty for, you know, as covering him as a chief of staff and as a POC commissioner and a round staffer and all that, and I don't recall ever catching him in an outright lie to me. And he so, I mean, I told them he could be lying to me when he says that he didn't have any knowledge of this ad coming and didn't know the group. But I tend to think not. I understand why they're suspicious, because he does have a connection where he met with a group that's tied to the group that did, you know, because you get a guy that does one thing for this organization and works for another one and a group that's connected to another group. And so there is a connection there with the group that he met with that I think is supporting him, and also with the Koch Industries endorsement of Dusty, that there's a person on this citizens group that worked for Koch Industries before this. And Dusty said, I don't know for any of that. I know I met with this group that now I find out does have a connection with this group that's doing the negative flyers, and that's all I know.
Right.
And, you know, I don't have any proof beyond that.
Although, to be fair, in the, you know, the issue at hand in the second flyer is, you know, the fees and increases in rates that she voted for as Secretary of State, which he brought up in the STPB television debate as a criticism, and she brought up his leaving the office of PUC to work for Governor Dugard's campaign after he had been elected by the people. So I don't know if those are really negative things. They're probably fair criticisms or sharp criticisms, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a legitimate issue with you. Yeah. You run for office to get a second PUC term, and then you say, I'm going to go work for the governor. Well, at the time, a lot of us said, really, you're going to do that? I was kind of troubled by it. And it was a hard decision for him to make, and he felt like his role with the governor's chief of staff and doing work on that massive budget deficit that they were trying to figure out how to deal with was something he wanted to do and needed to do, so he did. But you know it was going to be a campaign issue when he ran again, so that's legitimate. And there's always some issues with airplane use in the executive branch, and did you go out of your way to drop somebody off at their place, which is alleged that, you know, he could have driven to Pier from his home in Mitchell instead of getting dropped off, and they went out of their way just for him. And, you know, that's legitimate to talk about the how many creature comforts do you deserve if you're at that level. He's not the only one that's had that done for him. It's probably being done right now for somebody.
Right, yeah.
The issues are real. The way they're played, like with the putting a crown on her head and, you know, demeaning her personally, why not just deal with the tax issues? And even with Dusty, with the ads they did against him, lavish parties or whatever, that I have no indication that that's the case. And so it's the way they couch it and the tone they put it in that's usually the negative personal
right.
part of it, that's a reflection of character rather than just maybe a disagreement on an issue.
And now let's shift to Marty Jackley and Kristi Noem, because we're not talking about simple crowns, and these are more complicated, and the gloves are off.
They are. They are. And
you said in the beginning. You said that when this all started, and I think you mentioned that Kristi Noem was not afraid to hit hard, and it would be interesting to watch how that played out and how Marty Jackley would respond.
Everybody has been waiting, that knows Kristi and had watched her first in the state legislature, where she won great allies and great foes because of her style, which was pretty tough, pretty hard-edged a lot of the time. And, you know, sometimes women are judged more harshly for that than men are. Many times, I think. Commonly, they're judged more harshly than men for that. But as she said to me just recently in an interview, and I'm going to include kind of a reference to that in this blog that I'll put up later today, early on she learned it was a contact sport. Somebody told her that when she was getting her feelings hurt, and she said it is. And, boy, she can play contact politics as well as anybody can.
How is she going after? In the debate, on SDPB TV, she really went after Marty Jackley for a few things, and definitely trying to make the scandals of EB-5 or the crimes that were committed at Gear Up, make them stick to him. And I think at one point she said, I don't have the transcript in front of me right now, but she had said, you know, there's a common denominator here in all these, and it's Marty Jackley. And he said, well, yeah, because I'm the Attorney General, and it's my job to be part of each of these cases in one way or the other as we move forward in the prosecution. Did she make any of that stick, do you think, with some of these campaign ads? And are people going to, is it effective? Is it working?
I think it's effective the way she does it. Because she seems credible, aggressive, but credible when she does it. I, I think these are stretches in some case. I mean, Marty Jackley certainly has a role in all that that's a legitimate role, and then there's a role beyond that that some people have conjecture about. You know, many of us in the media challenged the fact that he wouldn't release all the details on the Rich Benda death that we wanted released. And he argued that was the family made a decision. It was a suicide, ruled a suicide by the authorities, and that was the family didn't want some details released. He didn't release it and won a court case, you know, brought Bob Mercer, challenged it, and didn't release that information. And that has played out, I think, in a recent ad I saw by Noam that alleges him for hiding crucial information on a death of a, you know, a state official, which implies a lot more than it was.
Right.
But there's still a basis of you know, a grain of truth in it. And the same thing with the Global Aquaponics and the fellow up there. There, you know, he does have this unfortunate picture from him standpoint, standing there in a groundbreaking and grinning at the camera, and that. Christie ties that to a guy that's now under federal charges and in a scam of a fish research farm or production farm that never happened and money went somewhere. And then there's her allegation that he went to a fundraiser at this guy's house. Marty says he never did. And, you know, I talked to him about it yesterday. He said it wasn't a fundraiser. He never got a check. He went and did a meet and greet, shook some hands. The guy invited him and he went and left. There was no money that came out of that, he says. And
we are almost out of time, Kevin. So
okay,
we go in the last 30 seconds, you can read the blog later on this afternoon at sdpb.org/Wooster. But what does Marty have to do at this point in the final days of the campaign to address some of these challenges? Do you have some very brief thoughts?
Be careful. And play it fairly cool, you know, and get too much. Don't swing too much.
It's a close one. Play it cool. Don't swing too much. We'll see. We'll be talking next week about how this all turned out. Kevin Wooster, thank you so much for this.
See ya.